Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The legislature is close to passing a bill that would change the conflict of interest law it passed last year. The bill would limit the number of cases that require lawmakers to disclose conflicts. The Senate passed an earlier version of the bill, which would have repealed the conflict of interest provisions entirely. The House passed its own version, and a conference committee agreed on the compromise today. Anchorage Democratic Representative Chris Tuck describes how the bill scales back the cases where lawmakers have to declare conflicts.
Conflicts are going to be reduced. But when you do have a conflict, we're basically tying that person's hands all the way for any type of legislative action.
The bill would continue to bar lawmakers from taking action to financially benefit themselves or their spouses, as well as their current employer or an employer that they're negotiating with. But it would no longer cover other family members or anyone who pays the legislator or their family at least $10,000 in the previous year. North Pole Republican Senator John Coghill says it's rare that lawmakers would have a conflict under the changes, but he says the bill is needed because last year's law was unclear.
Hardly ever have we seen a clear-cut case where they are going to either get a job, aggrandize a company, or themselves specifically, but this at least makes that clear.
The Select Committee on Legislative Ethics ruled that the law passed last year bars lawmakers from talking with constituents about pending bills if they have a conflict. The new bill explicitly says the law isn't intended to restrict the ability of lawmakers and constituents to meet. League of Women Voters Alaska President Judy Andre supported last year's law and expressed concerns about the Senate seeking to repeal the new restrictions. She's worried the bill won't cover legislators' children, but she says it's good lawmakers reached a compromise.
I would not be opposed to them passing the agreed-upon changes there because it is better than what we had before.
The bill now goes back to both the Senate and House for final votes. After stalling last week, breakup is back on in the interior with the return of warm weather. The Kuskokwim and Tanana rivers have seen record early breakups this year, and it's likely the Yukon will follow suit. KUAC's Dan Bross reports.
A few factors are contributing to this spring's early river breakups, but primarily it's warmer than normal temperatures.
Throughout the state, the general trend has been a below average number of accumulated freezing degree days.
That's National Weather Service Alaska Pacific River Forecast Center hydrologist Crane Johnson in a recently posted statewide breakup forecast video. Johnson says the warmth has had an obvious effect on river ice.
Both thinner than normal and weaker than normal.
It's not competent ice. It has no strength left to it.
National Weather Service hydrologist Karen Endress says river ice thicknesses averaged about 75% of normal coming out of the winter. Combined with above normal spring temperatures and generally below normal snowmelt runoff, early and uneventful mushouts are more the trend.
Not a lot of ice jams this year, much more of a thermal breakup.
Endress points to the Kuskokwim and Tanana rivers, where there have been record early and largely uneventful breakups, but she's cautious about predicting similar for the Yukon River.
We are not, at this point, expecting records like we have had for the Nenana Ice Classic and a few other rivers that have gone out exceptionally early, but we are expecting a fairly early breakup.
There's no evidence of anything going on currently.
Longtime Eagle resident and National Weather Service observer John Borg reported Friday that ice had yet to take on the darkened look it does before breaking up, but he suspected it to transition fairly soon.
I'm rather certain that it's going to break up before the 1st of May, but it all depends on how warm it starts getting during the day.
The earliest the Yukon River has gone out at Eagle is April 25th, and the median breakup date over the last 40 years is May 4th. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
Pollock is a fish caught in huge numbers in the Bering Sea off Alaska's coast, but it's not exactly trendy or known as health food. It's mostly in fish sticks and McDonald's fish sandwiches. Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk reports on a seafood company's latest push to make pollock the next big thing by turning it into gluten-free noodles.
It's lunchtime at the Anchorage home of Julia O'Malley, probably the city's highest profile food writer. O'Malley tries to eat gluten-free, so she's about to sample some new gluten-free noodles that I brought her for lunch. We're going to cook them into ramen.
Okay, I'm opening up the package here, and I'm just going to hold one. It feels, smells relatively neutral. and it's kind of elasticy. It definitely looks like a rice noodle.
O'Malley knows there's a secret Alaska ingredient in the noodles, but she doesn't know what it is. She's going to taste them and guess. That means we have to get the ramen components ready first.
We've got, scallions here and some bok choy, and I am about to boil an egg.
While we get that stuff going, I'm going to spill the beans. The secret ingredient is fish. The noodles come from Trident, one of the country's largest seafood companies. Trident is truly huge. It has thousands of employees, it's supplied fish for Starbucks sandwiches in China, and it catches hundreds of millions of pounds of pollock from the Bering Sea each year. Pollock isn't exactly a delicacy. Some people call it trash fish. It's caught in massive trawl nets and usually processed into low-value products like fish sticks and fried fish sandwiches. John Sally is Trident's Senior Vice President of Marketing and Innovation.
It's kind of lacked the romance. I don't know what a good parallel is. I mean, it's been the, Pabst Blue Ribbon to the, microbrew, for example, in the beer industry.
But in the past few years, the seafood industry has been looking for new ways to market pollock as something that's fresh and healthy and worth paying for. An official with another company describes it as making pollock sexy. Now Trident is introducing products for restaurants like Whole Pollock with the fish head still on, playing up the fact that this is a whole food. The noodles are part of that push. They're definitely more processed. A plant in Minnesota makes them from minced pollock meat called surimi, the same stuff that goes into fake crab. But the noodles only have 8 ingredients with 10 grams of protein in each serving. And by going into noodles, Trident is targeting a new group of consumers. Here's Sally again.
Consumers today are consuming protein in all kinds of plant-based foods, in pastas, in alternative burgers, sausages. I mean, the whole category is really exploding for plant-based protein products. And why not with fish?
Trident is putting a big effort into marketing the noodles. You can buy them at some Costco stores in the lower 48. But not in Alaska yet. A Trident official had to bring them on a plane to Anchorage on an ice pack. Back in O'Malley's kitchen, the ramen is finally done. She ladles the hot broth on top of the noodles and then digs in.
The noodles are neutral. Very neutral. Their texture is like a vegetable. They are filling, I would say that.
So knowing that there is an Alaska product in here, if you had to guess, what are you going to guess the Alaska product is?
I think it's seaweed.
You think it's seaweed? Are you ready for me to tell you what it is? Are you sure? Kelp. Is that your final answer?
I think it's kelp.
It's pollock.
These are made out of fish? That's unusual. Taste them again.
O'Malley isn't convinced the noodles are quite right for ramen, but she says she thinks they could work in a stir fry or a Thai dish, like if you want a lower carb alternative to rice noodles. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
In Olympia, Washington, the state Senate has passed a measure that would make daylight saving time permanent if federal law changes. The measure cleared the Senate on a 46-2 vote last week. The Washington Senate amended the House-approved measure, and now it heads back to the House for a final vote. The vote comes as more than 24 states are considering measures to avoid the twice-yearly clock change. If signed into law, Washington's measure would only take effect if Congress passes legislation allowing states to observe daylight saving time year-round. Currently, it's observed from the second Sunday in March until the first Sunday in November. While federal law allows states to opt into standard time permanently, which Hawaii and Arizona have done, the reverse is prohibited and requires congressional action. And it's bear season, which means Juneau residents should be extra careful about how they store their garbage to prevent creating a bear attraction nuisance on their property. Here's some bullet points from the City and Borough of Juneau's bear ordinance. Garbage cans may be put out to the curb for collection no sooner than 4 a.m. on pickup day. Otherwise, garbage must be kept in a bear-resistant container or enclosure. Garbage cans must be fitted with lids so as to remain secure if cans are tipped over. If your business has a dumpster, it must be kept within a garbage containment area or fitted with bear-resistant metal lid. For more information and resources, read Living with Bears in Juneau on the CBJ website or contact Juneau Police Department Community Service Officer.